Good morning. Today is Wednesday, April the 25th. Joining us this morning is Humboldt County Supervisor Estelle Fennell. Good morning, lady.
Good morning, Brian. How are you today?
Well, I'm enjoying spring.
Ah, finally we can talk about it and actually mean it, right?
That's right.
Yeah, it's an ongoing chat, yes.
Well, at least we're not in the Northeast.
Yeah.
Spring comes with frosty. Yeah. This morning we're going to talk about a couple of different things. Estelle, I know that Eel River and water diversion has been a big deal. Water in southern Humboldt has been a significant issue over the last little bit. It's kind of neat to see the eel with actually a current. And not green.
Yeah.
The flowing hair, so to speak.
Yeah.
When some of the marijuana environmental regulations were put in place, or codes, I guess, is probably the proper term, was there any consideration or allowance or factoring in of how much of the nitrogen is getting into the rivers to either naturally or the could be handled without choking out the fish and allowing all the algae, the blue-green algae bloom that happens each year?
Oh, absolutely. That was one of the big issues that we've been dealing with and are dealing with even more definitively in 2.0, which is the second iteration of the ordinance that will have quite a few amendments. And it's really, really important to control any kind of effluent or whatever you might call
runoff.
Runoff. And
we can go basic here.
Yeah, and I think, you know, that's achieved on a number of in a number of ways. First of all, it's setbacks from streams, obviously, and then the second one is management of the materials that you use. And we're also trying to nudge people towards not continuously putting amendments in and everything, because this is a very simplistic way that people were doing it in the black market or in the underground market, if you will, where they were basically bringing in potted soil and then putting amendments into it.
Like bags of Miracle-Gro kind of thing?
Yeah, right, that kind of thing.
On a daily basis?
Yeah.
Okay.
And so I think that as people become more regulated and more like regular agriculture, you're going to see less of that kind of intense use of nitrogen and all of those things. And those actually show up, too, which is very, very interesting. This is going to be down the line, but you're going to see in the testing that a lot of what people thought was pure and wonderful actually has quite a few things in it that shouldn't be there.
That's why I was going to ask. I spent a little bit of time with Kathy Randall.
Oh, yeah.
Or Studebaker.
Yeah.
A couple of weeks ago. And talking with her and the staff about some of the things that the options in the various soils, you know, and whether it's on large or whether it's in, you know, for your rose garden, I mean, it probably doesn't matter too much, but the variety of different things, and there was a comment that stuck with me that I thought was really kind of interesting. The people who know, and those that don't, they provide the advice for.
Yeah.
But it was organic this and natural that. When it comes to the code and what's ending up in the streams, is there a difference between bag-o something and if it comes in naturally? Does it alter anything? Does it change anything? Does one have more impact than the other? If it's calcium.
Yeah,
okay,
well,
if it's calcium in a bag or it's calcium with ground up oyster shells.
Right.
Any difference?
You know, I'm not enough of a scientist to know that part, but I will tell you what makes the difference is how it's used. You know what I'm saying? So whether or not it actually is allowed to run off, as you said, into the streams, into the watershed, or it's managed, if it's tilled into the earth and used over and over in a natural way, that's way better than just dumping it on the side of whatever you're doing. And so I think with this kind of more regulated, better managed approach, you're going to see less of that. But, you know, agriculture throughout the United States has had this impact on the watersheds. It's not just cannabis by a long
stretch. Well, sure. I remember Ferndale was having the huge issue with the cows. It's, and it's like, you know, this management stuff's been happening forever. Okay. Really? And, you know, sometimes, I suppose, for those of us that don't really pay as much attention as others, is this the regulators trying to get more stuff that they can regulate, or does this really have a negative impact on the immediate area? And you never really kind of get a clean response on that one.
We have to have some regulations, obviously, because if we're going to permit it, we've got to know what's being permitted, right? But I would agree with you that agencies can go overboard, and I think we've seen that, especially with the state agencies, I have to say. It's like nitpicking down to an amazing degree.
You don't like using the gnat analogy, huh?
Yeah. But I think that there is a fairness to managing properly, because when people don't, they just throw stuff all over the place. We've seen that out in the trespass grows with like bags and bags and bags of additives just sitting there and leaking and leaching into the watershed. If it's managed properly, I think it's totally fine, and the watershed can accept it.
So how do the bad guys, define it as you wish, mm-hmm. how do the bad guys do it versus the good guys? Or, I mean, I'm trying to think, okay, at the house, we've got some railroad ties. Mm-hmm. Okay, and we got planters and flowers and trees and all that kind of stuff. I put in there and it stays in there and mm-hmm. I monkey around with it so the weeds don't pop up. How do these guys do it?
Well, I think if you're out there, especially if you're in the middle of a forest or you're trespassing on someone else's land, you're not going to be as careful as you are on your home, number one. Number two, people, if they are out in those areas, they're hiking all these additives, etc., and they're not going to take them back out. They're not going to clean it up. They're going to let stuff hang.
So they're not in containers.
They're not in containers.
Okay.
So you've got a lot of that. Once you've got it regulated, it's a lot cleaner.
It's also 8:19.
Listen to 980 AM for the best music, ABBA, Neil Diamond, Barbara Streisand, Billy Joel, and the Fifth Dimension. The all-time best are heard every day, all day long on 980 AM. We are Easy Radio. Easy on your ears and easy on your mind. This is memory making music, and you'll love the memories you create. Tune in and hear the best music. Easy Radio, 980 AM.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Times, 8:24. We're back talking shop this morning with Estelle. The grows that we were referencing before, mm-hmm. whether it's me and our flowers and our trees, mm-hmm. or somebody else growing pot, is it the process? Is it the stuff? Is it something else? I mean, I still, paint me in the naive corner, mm-hmm. but I still don't understand how does so much stuff get into the river, mm-hmm. to cause what we've seen
with the algae
in almost all the rivers, five of the six rivers mm-hmm. in the Six Rivers Forest. Is there that much stuff that's out there, or am I just missing something?
Well, there's a combination. First of all, you have lower flows overall, so that means more nitrogen to water.
Higher concentration.
More of a concentration. Second of all, it's placement. The further away they are from that watershed, the better. And then the third thing is how much watering they do, which leaches all of that out if they've got it in a container. So I think that the codes and the regulations that are put in place are meant to give people guidance on what's called best management practices. If people do best management practices, they're not going to impact it. And I would argue that before we had the green rush, even when there were people out there doing this underground, they weren't having the same kind of impact because they were having a lighter touch. But this is
the footprint.
Right, and you've got these gigantic operations where they're just throwing stuff at the plants, and they're not really farmers. They're more into making a fast buck.
They're entrepreneurs.
Entrepreneur.
Isn't that, how they
exactly
when they try to put
so,
us
but you
in the
see
corner.
That,
yes.
You see that other places too. I mean, we've seen algae bloom all over the place with other agricultural practices, whether it's lettuce or strawberries or whatever. If people overdo it and they don't manage it well, it's going to get into the watershed. And I think regular farmers and ranchers know that and know how to take care of it. And so these codes and regulations are aimed at that.
So the ordinance that you guys are going to be, is it adjusting or putting more teeth into?
A combination.
Okay.
And that's on the 8th.
What is that? What are you seeing the outcome of that being?
Well, first of all, it's going to address some of the issues that have come up in the first year, namely a lot of issues about neighborhoods, and we all know that from Fortuna.
The sphere of influence.
The sphere of influence, yeah. We all know it from Fortuna and Blue Lake and even Shelter Cove, areas like that, where people are very concerned about things like odor and other impacts of having a commercial industry right in a neighborhood. So we're addressing that, I think, pretty strongly. We're also looking at the stress on prime ag soil. We made it a requirement in the first iteration that if you were creating a new grow, you had to have it on prime ag, on ground that was classified as prime ag soil. And we're pulling back on that, and we're saying so long as it's zoned for agriculture, it's good. I think that will relieve a stress also on the prime ag soil and also not make it so cost prohibitive for people who want to grow other things to purchase land that's prime ag.
So it was one of those unintended consequences things?
I believe so, yeah, definitely.
And
this was
an
unintended
supply of that property that could be used for something else.
Right.
All going in that one direction.
Yeah, and the idea was, well, we're going to make this into a regulated commercial entity, so why should it not be where other agriculture enterprises are? But there's really no need for it to be on prime ag. The main purpose actually was to get it off the slope, so it was like prime ag on a 15% slope.
So you could have said flat.
Yeah, exactly.
So to speak.
Yeah, and so the bottom line is that didn't work so well, especially when it came to the fact that it makes sense that it's around the built-up areas, and when you think about where people locate, they're going
to
locate near where
the
they can grow
farm,
food.
The family farm, so to speak.
Yeah.
So with the designation that was required by the county for the property owners who had any inclination to have that parcel be in marijuana production,
mm-hmm.
there's a ripple and there's going to be a consequence on this move also. Is that window opening up or being revisited also?
Well, I think what you're seeing is that I think the ones that are going to feel it the most are the people who were already in the process and now are going to have to kind of switch gears a little bit, and we're trying to make that work for them. As far as people who had property that was fine for growing cannabis commercially but was not zoned prime ag, they're in a better position. But we'll see
But the property declaration part isn't being addressed as part of this?
Yeah. No.
Okay, so it's still the same.
Yeah.
You know, you're dealing with a finite universe.
Yes, exactly. Oh, no, and what we are doing is we're looking at putting caps on the number of permits we're going to give out, and then look at that as soon as we get to about 90% of that, we'll look at it.
And so that cap, is that part of the new adjusted ordinance?
Yes, absolutely, yes. Actually, what it's going to be is it's not going to be included in the ordinance. It's going to be a resolution. And it will be a resolution that addresses caps, which we can revisit.
So it's easier to unwind it.
Yeah, easier to unwind a resolution than
an ordinance. So what are you looking at? What's the magic number?
Well, there are three numbers that were thrown out there. The first one was 5,000 overall, and that was what staff recommended. And then we got feedback.
Total county?
Total
including
county.
Cities?
Everything.
Okay.
Yeah. Then there was, I suppose it wouldn't have to do with the cities. Now that I think about it, it would just be county.
Okay.
Yeah. And because there are some cities that are allowing it, although not many. And then that went down CDFW recommended something along the lines of 4,700. And then we had some input from some environmental groups recommending we go down even further to 3,000. And we're looking at between 3,000 and 3,500. And then going back and looking to see, is this actually doable and can we expand it a little bit more or not?
It's 8:30.
Do as a community to make Humboldt a better place to work and live? The answer is to make sure our kids are literate, able to plan financially, move forward in their education so they are better prepared to enter our workforce, and become contributing and productive members in our society, community, and economy. How do we do it? Through the Decade of Difference Initiative. Visit decadeofdifference.org and find out how you, as a parent, student, or business owner, can help. It's the Decade of Difference. Be part of it.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Times, 8:35. We're back to Talk Shop this morning with Stell Fennell. Talk Shop presented by CDH Painting, Redec, American Ag, and by Lolita Cheese. This time of the year, Stell, budgets kind of start, well, actually, you guys probably been in the budget. You know, you had the road show a month or so ago. That information now is, kind of, I would like to think, is being folded into some of the budgets that the department heads are presenting. I know you're short a couple department heads, but okay. As that process has begun this week, are you getting pressure because now there's some available monies that are out there?
Yes.
Rather than the cutting back, everybody understood it. Okay, fine. Now that there's money either for Measure Z or pick a letter, okay, there's more unencumbered dollars. Is everybody at the trough now battling?
Everybody's at the trough. As soon as money appears, there's a long line of people who think that it should go to them. And I don't doubt that in some cases it would be really helpful. But we have to look to the future. We don't know. We were just talking earlier about the cannabis world. I mean, we don't know what exactly that's going to do on the budget in Humboldt County. So with that and other factors, there's always, you know, the potential of recession, etc. We need to be thinking along the lines of putting some money aside and not just jumping and using up every penny that comes in.
So that's one part of it. When you look at it, okay, you got deferred maintenance, and deferred certainly in many situations is not 6 months deferred, but a prolonged deferment versus set aside.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you could argue really hard either way.
Yeah.
You know, the set-aside, okay, everybody's familiar with that argument. The deferred maintenance, I mean, if the roof is leaking too long, the building is gone. And
exactly.
The same thing with roads and et cetera. So as you're weighing those options, and we're not even getting to the special interest groups. This is just more the broad stroke stuff. I know the county leaders over the years have said, yes, we have priorities.
Yeah.
Safety, roads, okay, fine.
Right.
Now here we come, push comes to shove. Where do you play?
Yeah, I know. It's very, very difficult, and we have to be wise about it because let's say, for instance, we were to just go completely and spend every dollar that's
say all
come
roads.
In. Yeah, yeah.
Whatever
all
it is,
roads,
it all goes to the roads, and now we've got less issues with the roads.
Yeah, but in the meantime, we have no police, and we have no...
Well, police still staying as it is.
Yeah,
I mean, not
yeah.
cutting back,
yeah,
maintaining,
yeah, yeah,
but
yeah.
This extra money's...
Well, you know, I mean, I have a really difficult time with that one, to be frank, Brian, because...
You've got roads and you need cops.
I've got a ton of roads. I have a ton of roads. And so do some of my other colleagues. And we know, because we drive them, they are so bad. So I've always made the argument that, for instance, when we go to Measure Z funding, that roads are a safety issue, because they certainly are. So we try to make sure that we can do as best we can for the roads. We also have SB1 funding, which is helping with maintenance, culvert replacement, etc. But that's questionable. I mean, that's being challenged on a state level, so we'll see how that goes during election time. If we don't have that, we're in worse shape than we are right now. And even last year, we thought we were going to get almost $2 million, $1.8 million from SB1, and actually we only got $900,000, something like that. So that's half of what we thought.
Because less was being spent for gas? Yeah. Or it was allocated to other areas?
I have not drilled down to that, but I don't think that. Well, I guess there is less being spent for gas, but I think also the allocation is an issue. And I don't know if it was jerry-rigged or whatever, because we saw it early on.
Jerry-rigged or jerry-ground?
I mean, I looked at it. I mean, right from when they were talking about SB1, they said, this is what you guys are going to get. This is what you guys are going to get. And then suddenly, oh, this is actually what you got. So I don't know quite how that transpired, but all I know is we got less than we were counting on. And so now we still have all the deferred maintenance plus storm damage, etc. And as the director always says, you know, if you have to defer maintenance, as you said yourself, you make the situation worse. There's just no doubt about it.
You've then also got the ADA stuff. Now, paid for, or is that dollars that need to come out of this also?
Yes, it is. And
so
in
that
fact,
really is a non-option.
Total non-option. Yeah.
Put that there.
Mm-hmm. And that's very, very costly, in the millions and millions of dollars. And
does that suck up? I mean, if you took 2 years' worth of this stuff, would that suck it all up?
It would suck up a lot of it, yes.
Probably would make as much sense to put it there with I don't know if they would close down a county because of that stuff, but
probably don't want to
find out and be the poster child either.
Yeah. Well, it has to be done at a certain pace anyway. There are certain things that are, they're like, have timelines. You've got to get this done by, 9 months from now, and then you've got to get those done. So we set up a timeline, and that kind of helps. In terms of the funding as well.
The cash flow on that.
Yeah.
KINS, News and Information Times, 8:43. We will be back.
The Redwood Region Economic Development Commission and Fly Humboldt remind you that flying local is buying local and supports local jobs and investment. Fly Humboldt is a community-based coalition of businesses, organizations, and citizens dedicated to getting more flights to more destinations. We know that reliable and affordable air service is a critical part of a healthy community. For more information, visit flyhumboldt.org or find us on Facebook.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 8:46. We're back to Talk Shop this morning with Estelle Fennell. Estelle, the challenges I know that are out there with all the monies that are out, but you've also got a little bit of a variable in here with the desire, the momentum, the inertia, the decision, however we want to call it on that continuum, for the airport to have a special district. Okay, now if that thing is covering its cost, which I think is the intended on this whole
thing. That is the intention.
That lifts off some of those costs that could be then allocated to other areas.
Good word, lifts off.
Okay, every once in a while.
Yeah.
Do you favor having those dollars remain in public works and go directly to the roads, or for those dollars to even come out further and then be reallocated depending on how you five want to go?
Okay, so we see, first of all, we would like the airports to be, enterprise zone, which is what they are, and self-sufficient. That, in turn, hopefully helps with the economy. But you're absolutely correct. I think that Public Works has been managing that for a long time, and if there is a way to get some of that money into, once we're freed of that responsibility, then it would be good, in my view, to get it to the roads. I really do think so, because that's also part of having an attractive place for people to locate, is having roads that they can travel on. Not to mention housing, which is a whole other issue.
Yeah, we talked about that one with Greg earlier. We'll talk after the show. We don't have enough time for that one.
Yeah.
But housing's huge. So what sense do you have? Are you coming from the advisory committee, coming from the department heads? Do you have a general sense of what direction, or are things still going to be taken under submission for the next week or so, and you're looking at sometime in May starting to really lock things in?
Yeah, well, we've got another set of departments coming in next Monday. And then as we go further into the budget process, that's when it's all going to fall out and we're going to get a feel for what we can and cannot do. But generally speaking, I think that our CAO and her team are doing a really good job of balancing all of the requests, and really appreciate the Citizens Advisory Committee for all of the work that they've been doing. And, you know, we're in a very interesting time.
When it comes to the budget, how granular do you get? Do you back it out and look at, okay, 10 years and let staff get you to the 10 years?
Yes.
I know there's a temptation by certain personalities to dive in and want to
know. We don't want to get too
every
granular.
Single budget. Mm-hmm. And maybe even some of the budget line items. Mm-hmm. One, it drives everybody batty because, you know, you're not knowledgeable in that area 100%.
You have to delegate.
But that's not where you're supposed to be.
Right. You have to be thinking big picture. You have to be, and you have to trust that staff is on the team with you. And in our case, I think we do have a great staff in that regard. And keep an eye on it, obviously. Request updates, which is what we get all the time. And we will be asked to make some policy decisions on funds that are a little bit more fungible, you know, discretionary.
There's that word again. You used that last time in here, didn't you? Fungible. So I've never heard the word. It's been twice.
We're doing it. It's kind of like Mr. Rogers' name.
Who said fungible, or is that the new government word?
No, it's not the new government word.
I know, but collaborative was the big government word for five or six years. I refused to use that word, too. So.
Okay. Well, anyway, something that's discretionary that we have a little bit of say over, you know, and we can say, okay, let's put it over here instead of over here. And that's when everybody shows up and makes their arguments.
That's the feeding frenzy.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why you're so popular.
Yeah, right. I know.
Tell the vote.
I know.
With the cast of characters that are there now, are you guys and gals ready to withstand the storm?
I hope so. I think we are.
I can remember Cowboy talking about it, and then back, you know, into Bonnie's era and even further back, that there was a desire to give everybody a little something instead of really focusing. And we hear about the priority list, but yet you still see a little here, a little there, and pretty soon you got 3 or 4 million that could have been going for another 5 or 6 miles or 10 miles or 20 miles of road, getting thrown off into these areas of personal interest rather than community benefit.
Right. I mean, you know, when everybody is stuck for money, they're going to look at every avenue they can pursue, and you have to compliment them for that. But you've also got to be straightforward and say, you know what, this doesn't work here.
I got a question for you.
Right,
30 seconds. Good.
30 seconds.
Does it make any sense for the county to give money to the city of Eureka, city of Fortuna, Arcata, whoever has road issues, for their areas, for the roads to be better because it serves more the citizens of the county, and it might make economic sense as some of those tax dollars start happening or employment occurs because of the entire infrastructure?
Did that take 30 seconds? Do I have to answer that question?
I gave you a yes-no opportunity on this one.
I got to think about it.
All right. Well, okay. Then there was all of the above. See everybody tomorrow.